Last time we were in the book of Daniel, 2 weeks ago, we did cover the balance of Daniel chapter 10, but we just barely got done, and I was pointing out some things that are said here because, as I mentioned even in the introduction of Daniel 10, is that we're given a vision into the unseen world. Colossians chapter 1, was it verse 16? It says that Jesus Christ created all things, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. But it started out things visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. And we'll be looking at that same passage, so that's why I don't have you turning there now, but we'll look at it next hour. But when he created the thrones, principalities, and powers, there's visible and invisible. Well, the visible are the thrones and principalities that are on earth. What's invisible to us is that there's thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, there's might in the heavenly places. And Daniel chapter 10 shows us that. And most importantly, what I see in Daniel chapter 10 is that the heavens affect the earth. And I'm going to point out several things about that. And so we're going to kind of open up the invisible world in the prophetic program as I just review a couple verses that we looked at last time from Daniel chapter 10. And I just want to elaborate on some of those things. So if you look at verse 12 of Daniel chapter 10, Daniel's been waiting 3 weeks for an answer to his prayer, and maybe at the end I'll try to bring that all those things about his prayer back to you because it'll reflect some things we're going to look at right away. It says in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "Then said he unto me," and that is the angel, most people think it's Gabriel, we just know it's an angel. He said unto me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee to understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Now that verse 14 is the key. This is what the angel is going to reveal, and that revelation is going to be given to Daniel in chapter 11 and just in the first part of chapter 12. It's the last revelation that Daniel's going to receive. But that angel was hindered from coming to Daniel for 21 days. And what's interesting is when you look at that statement in verse 13, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me." Now, I don't think a human being can hinder an angel. They're mightier than men. So when I see the prince of the kingdom of Persia, I'm thinking that there is a prince in the spiritual realm. Remember, principalities, powers, dominion, might. And that prince was able to hinder Gabriel or this angel from coming to Daniel to reveal to him what's going to happen in the latter days. That angel didn't want Daniel to get that information. But not only does it say that that angel withstood him, but then it says, "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes." So here's Michael, and we mostly know him as the archangel. I'll point that out to you in a moment. But Michael, who is more powerful than this angel, whether it be, I'm not going to say Gabriel, because everyone says Gabriel, but this angel, it's just in my mind there. But Michael's more powerful than this angel, but also more powerful than the prince of Persia that withheld this angel from coming to Daniel. He freed that angel so that angel could make his way to Daniel to deliver the message, the answer to Daniel's prayer. So Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, but notice the last phrase, "and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Now we jump from a prince of the kingdom of Persia to the kings, plural, of Persia. And it's almost like this prince usurped some authority over the kings, and when he was being held captive, there's been a capture of some of the kings of Persia. I'm looking into things that the Bible just declares. I'm trying to put it together as I look at that. But you can see there is angelic warfare. There is a battle. And the battle here is this rebellious Persian king in the spiritual realm doesn't want Daniel to get to know this information. But if you go over to verse 20, it says, then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee?" Well, we do know why he came to Daniel. It's verse 14, to tell him what's going to take place in the latter days. And so he goes on to say, "Now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. And but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince." Now notice there's a prince of Persia, and then there's going to be a prince of Grecia, and Michael is Israel's prince. So just like there's these territories on earth, there's these territories in the heaven, and there are those who are reigning in those territories in the heaven, and it seems like they affect the earth. We closed that last time because it was obvious to me when you read verse 20 that this angel is going to fight. And one of the things that you know about the kings of Persia, for the most part, they're the ones like Cyrus the king had Israel return to back to the land. They were in captivity under Babylon. And so soon as Cyrus comes into power, he gives the right for Israel to return and start rebuilding their temple. And so the kings of Persia really cooperated, helped the nation of Israel, which when you think about Matthew chapter 25, when the Lord says he's going to take the nations and divide them into sheep and goats, and the goat nations are going to be damned forever, and then the sheep nations, that's Gentile nations, are going to be blessed to go into the kingdom. And they're going to ask why. And he says, because when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was hungry, you fed me, and so forth. And they asked when. And he said, when you did it to these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So he's going to curse the Gentile nations that go against Israel, and he's going to bless the Gentile nations that bless Israel. Well, the Persian government, for the most part, is blessing the nation of Israel. But it looks like in verse 20, that, and whether that's the same prince of Persia here, but the point in verse 20, it seems like this angel goes back and he fights with the prince of Persia, and that way it's affecting the nation of Israel during the reign of Persia. When he quits fighting with the prince of Persia, then the prince of Grecia is going to come. And when we study Daniel, we've already learned in several chapters that the Gentile powers is first Babylon's going to be there. Now Babylon's gone. It's now the Media-Persia Empire. And this prince is fighting with the prince of Persia, and things are going good for Israel. But when he quits fighting with the princes of Persia, then Greece is going to take over. And that's going to be the next world empire under Alexander the Great. And so it looks like the heavens have an effect on the earth. Now, we know that from Daniel chapter 4, where Nebuchadnezzar learned that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and setteth up over those who he wants. So we know that the heavens control the earth. We see a picture of that here. There's another picture. If you just go to the first verse in chapter 11, this is the same angel still talking to Daniel. He said, "Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm him and to strengthen him." Now, do you know who that Darius? Now, by the way, there's so many Dariuses, but most of them are Persia. This is Darius the Mede. Go back to Daniel chapter 5. This is where Nebuchadnezzar's grandson sees the handwriting on the wall. And the last piece of that handwriting on the wall is Daniel chapter 5 and verse 28, where it says, "Persis," that's what's written on the wall, Daniel interprets that, "thy kingdom is divided and is given to the Medes and Persians." So the next verse, well, verse 30, "In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." So at 32, he takes the kingdom. He slays Belshazzar, and Darius the Mede takes the kingdom. What gave him the power to take that kingdom? Daniel chapter 11, verse 1. "Also in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood to confirm and to strengthen him." It's like that angel had the power to give the victory to the Medes and Persians, which gave victory to Darius the Mede on earth to conquer Babylon and become the next world empire. And so we get a picture how there's battles in heaven taking place in the spiritual world that's having an influence on the earth. Now watch this. Come to Revelation. Well, chapter 1 is the picture of Jesus Christ in the day of the Lord. He's coming back in judgment. But if you go to chapter 4, And back when we taught the book of Revelation, I didn't try to list the seven, but there is what's taken place in the book of Revelation. Well, I'll just let it reveal itself. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. It says, after this, and this is the Apostle John, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, the trumpet talking with me, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. So Jesus Christ is ready to pour out judgment. He says, John, come up into heaven, and I'm going to show you what's going to take place. So John is caught up into the heaven, verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he's going to see Jesus Christ rise up out of the throne of God the Father and take a sealed scroll. When he takes that sealed scroll in chapter 6, he starts opening up that scroll, and all of a sudden the seal judgments are being poured out on the earth. There's seven sealed judgments. And so what John sees is the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven get the title deed to the earth. It's what most people call that scroll. But as he opens it, it has an effect on the earth. All of a sudden, judgment is falling on the earth. Where is it coming from? The heavens. The heaven is affecting what takes place here on the earth. So we come over to chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. It says, after this, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And now he's going to seal 144,000. And then as he seals the 144,000, you come to Revelation chapter 8. It says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. And that seventh seal is going to open up the seven trumpet judgments, which follow in chapter 8, and more judgment is going to fall on the earth. So he keeps seeing these visions in heaven, and then what takes place on the earth. The heavens control the earth. Well, come over to chapter 12 of Revelation, because this is where Michael, the one we call the archangel. It says in Revelation 12, verse 7, it says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angel and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That's an amazing verse to me. There, when you read down, they're cast down to the earth, verse 12. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. If the heavens control the earth, and Satan's lost his place in heaven, and he's cast down to the earth, heaven is cleansed, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth, the devil is down here, but the devil down here knows he has but a short time. He knows he's doomed at this point, because he's lost control of the heavens. The heavens control what happens on the earth, and now he's down here on the earth. And by the way, while I'm saying that, you got Daniel held? Okay, look at Daniel chapter... Well, remember already, in Daniel chapter 10, we talked about Michael came and freed this angel that was taken captive. And then in verse 21, the last part of verse 21 in Daniel 10, it says, but Michael, your prince... That's explained in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, in Daniel 12 verse 1 says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. So Michael is assigned to the nation of Israel. But what's interesting to me, in chapter 10, he's one of the chief prince. So it sounds like he's got some equals in there. But when you come to chapter 12, all of a sudden he is the great prince. When you come to Jude, like verse 4, he is Michael the archangel. Arch means the top. And by the way, in Jude, he's disputing with the devil over the body of Moses, but he doesn't bring any accusation against the devil. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. It's like the devil he's a top cherub, that he has more authority than Michael, who's over the nation of Israel. But the Lord is over the devil, so he gets his way. But when you come to Revelation 12, all of a sudden he's fighting the devil and wins. I wonder when I look at that, he's one of the chief princes. He's the prince of the nation of Israel. Then all of a sudden he is the great prince, and now he's the archangel, and now he casts the devil out. I wonder if there's promotion that's going along there in heaven, but at least whether it's a promotion or not, his degree is mounting as you read these verses until he attacks Satan. And then when he attacks Satan, he's cast Satan out, and Satan's down to the earth, and he knows he has but a short time, because my whole point is what happens in the heavens affects the earth, and Satan knows he has but a short time. So if you're still in Revelation, got that too? Chapter 15, I'll finish what I was going through. That was a little side note. Revelation 15, verse 1, it says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues for them, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And what you have in chapter 16 is called the vial judgments. Sometimes they're called bowl judgments, is what a vial is. And what's happening is the final judgments of God are being poured out. So each of these three sets of judgments that you find in the book of Revelation, John sees something in heaven first. The angels get involved and pour things out, and things happen on the earth from the heavens. It kind of concludes over, and you get to Revelation 20, where it says in verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So now Satan is thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Verse 4 and following is a resurrection that takes place. Verse 7 is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And then when you finally, then Satan is loose for a little season, destroyed one last time, thrown in the lake of fire. And then you get to Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So now heaven joins the earth when you get to Revelation chapter 21. But until then, the earth, the heavens were affecting what's taking place on the earth. Well, that's what we're seeing in Daniel chapter 10, is that there's these wars and what was take place in the invisible realm of the Persian Empire is a prince of the kingdom of Persia that could stop an angel from getting to Daniel to give him a revelation of how things are going to change. Go back to, should I start there? Go back to chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And I say start there because I'm going to show you things. The Bible says the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So by reading the scripture and believing what the Bible says, we can see that invisible. And if Jesus Christ created all things, heaven and earth, visible and invisible, and they'd be thrones, dominions, principalities, we can look at the earthly thrones, dominions, principalities and see how they exist and realize that happens in heaven too. So even though we can't see it in heaven, we know it's there in heaven, and those things are set up to control territories and govern those territories. So these territories exist, and we see there's Persian territory, there's a Grecian territory. Ultimately, there's going to be the kingdom, God's kingdom, going to come down to earth. But before I get to chapter 11, verse 2, if you look again at verse 21 of Daniel 10, it says, But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. I told you already, and I don't want to go too much into it because it's going to be important for the next hour, but when it talks about the scripture of truth, scripture is writing. And this angel is going to reveal to Daniel what's written in the scripture of truth. Well, that information isn't on earth yet. That scripture of truth is in the heavens. And so there is a Bible up in the heavens. And this angel is making sure that information in that Bible in heaven gets to become scripture here on earth and sitting in your lap. So when we talk about things invisible in heaven, we wouldn't know there's a Bible up there. That verse tells you there's a Bible there, that this Bible is now just catching up to the Bible already written in heaven. And so there's a Bible up there. Come over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Oh, I said it's not supposed to be on that side of the page. That's because I'm in Numbers. I can't switch my Bible. Got to use an old Schofield Reference Bible. I know it's on this side, halfway down. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. It says, when the Most High divided the nations. Now that's after the Tower of Babel, God divided the Gentiles in the earth. But here's something that you didn't know. When the Most High divided the nations, their habitation, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now remember, it's God's going to set up a kingdom on earth through the nation of Israel. They have 12 apostles who are going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Those nations, the 12 tribes of Israel, are going to be kings and priests of God, and they're going to rule the Gentile nations. So when God, way back in the Tower of Babel, divided the nations in the earth, he divided them by the number of Israel. 12. The earth is divided into 12. And, you know, we got time zones, 24. So you divide that by 2, you realize there's 2 time zones that make up one section there. The earth is divided into 12. And God divided the nations into those 12 because Israel is going to rule over those nations. What you don't see here, but what is true, the heavens are also divided into 12. You know that not just, well, you know that from how everything moves in space, but also when the Gentiles in their apostasy began to worship the stars, there's 12 zodiacs up there, and the heavens are divided into 12 also. Which is an interesting point, because my point to you is the heavens are controlling the earth. And if there's dominions up there, they're divided. And just like the earth is divided into 12, heaven is divided into 12. Now, I say that to you just to get you started in realizing, there's things up there that are controlling the earth, and they look a lot like the earth, but they are heavenly, they're spiritual, and they have an effect on the earth. Come over to Isaiah chapter 24. Oh, wow. Now, this is a good passage because you'll see both heaven and earth, and in the tribulation, how the heavens are going to be cleansed. So it says in Isaiah 24 and verse 21, talking about the day of the Lord, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. So in that tribulation, God's going to judge the angels that are in heaven. We already saw Michael is going to fight, and the devil and his angels are going to be cast out of heaven. But he's also going to judge the kings of the earth upon the earth. Then verse 22 says, and they shall gather together as prisoners are gathered in a pit, and they shall shut up the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. That's after that 1,000-year reign of Christ. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before the ancients glorious. So there is a Jerusalem on earth. Didn't we just read about a heavenly Jerusalem? So there's a Jerusalem up in heaven. There's a Zion on earth. Now, in Zechariah chapter 8, it says the Lord's going to return to Zion. You might be more familiar with Zechariah 9:9, where the Lord is going to come lowly, riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. But it says, rejoice ye daughters of Zion, the Lord is coming. because there's a Zion on earth. That's when you first read about that is in 1 Samuel, where David conquered not only Jerusalem, but he conquered the hill of Zion to put his throne on Zion on the earth. And Jesus Christ, according to Zechariah 8, is going to come back to Zion. When he leaves the earth, he's going to set up his throne. He's going to sit on the throne of David. He's going to sit on Mount Zion in Israel, in the land of Israel. Come over to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. It says in verse 1, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood upon stood on Mount Zion." Now, it's spelled with an S here because that's a difference between a Greek translation into English from the Hebrew, but it's the same Zion. "Stood Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." 144,000 that go out and minister in the first part of the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, and that's where you are in Daniel chapter and Revelation chapter 14, notice they're not on earth anymore. They're redeemed from the earth. They've been taken away from the earth because we're going into the second half of that tribulation. But when they're taken away from the earth, where are they? They're on Mount Zion. But that's not Mount Zion on the earth. That's Mount Zion in the heavens. So just like there's a heavenly Jerusalem, there's a Mount Zion in the heaven, and there's a Jerusalem on the earth, and a Mount Zion on the earth. Come over to Hebrews chapter 12. So we're talking in Hebrews 12 about Moses and the Mount Sinai quaking when the law was given. But if you pick up in verse 22, the writer of Hebrews says, "But we are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and unto God, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect." Now all those, what he's saying is, we're not talking about Mount Zion on the earth that Moses saw, that the writer of Hebrews, this is, God is now speaking from heaven, was it seeing, verse 25. "See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Hebrews is the Lord dictating the truth to the nation of Israel, a last warning to them, but he's speaking from heaven. And as he's speaking from heaven, there's a Mount Zion, and there's a heavenly Jerusalem, and there's a whole bunch of people up there. And verse 24 says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and unto the blood sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." So there, my point is, just like there's these territories that match the earth, there is the city of Jerusalem and Mount Zion that's in heaven as well as on the earth. It's the place that God dwells in that city in Jerusalem. But come back to chapter 8 of Hebrews. There's even more. Chapter 8, verse 1. It says, Hebrews 8:1. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." So Jesus Christ ascended. He's a priest to the nation of Israel. He's in heaven. "A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man." Wait a minute. Man built a tabernacle on earth. Well, read on. "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it was necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. So there's this tabernacle, which verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. When Moses built the tabernacle on earth, and by the way, when David built the temple on earth, God gave him a pattern, and here Moses is seeing a tabernacle that the Lord pitched in heaven. There's a tabernacle up there. Look at chapter 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. Okay, the pattern of things in heaven is the tabernacle on the earth, and they're purified with animal blood. But it says, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place which is made with hands, which is a figure of the true. See, that was only a pattern and a figure of the true tabernacle. The true tabernacle is where is in the presence of God in heaven. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. And the point is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and ascended back into heaven, he ascended back into heaven with his blood and presented it to God the Father on the Ark of the Covenant. And God the Father was pleased that the blood of Jesus Christ covered our sins. That's the true tabernacle, which is pitched in heaven. And when Moses built the tabernacle on earth, it was just a pattern of the tabernacle that's already there in the heavens. So you see, the heavens, they're a real place. And there's places up there, and there's dominions up there, and there's wars up there. And all those things are the true, and they have an effect on the earth. Because the things on the earth are just a reflection of the things that are going up there, done up there in the heavens. So I'd say all that just to give you a picture of the heavenly things. Now, I probably can't go through this, but if you go back to Daniel chapter, this time 11. I did this for my sake. I'll tell you what, the bell hasn't rung. So while you get that, get Ezra. Go to chapter 4 in Ezra. Got to figure out which way I'm going here. All right, you might forget Ezra. Let me read Daniel chapter 10. So we've seen in Daniel chapter 10 these things that are going to take place. Notice again in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings, plural, of Persia. Plural, kings. Well, look at verse 2 of chapter 11. And now, after he said he strengthened the Darius the Mede, it says, Now I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength and so forth. So the angel is saying there's going to be four more kings that are going to rise up in Persia after Cyrus the king. Well, what I did is I went through the book of Ezra, realizing we already saw that Daniel's prayer is about the people that went back to the land. 2 years later, they're being hindered from building the temple. And it's because somebody wrote letters to the king who's now Darius. No, might have been Artaxerxes. I'm going to get the kings wrong. There's several kings mentioned in the book of Ezra, at least four. Three. They wrote letters, and the king says, oh, wait a minute, Israel, these are rebellious people. Stop the building of that temple. And it stopped for several years. There's a prince of Persia that's hindering Israel from being blessed. Daniel's praying about that. That angel comes to Daniel and say, look, no, Israel's going to get blessed ultimately. So you find out that Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi get up and prophesy to the nation of Israel. And they write letters to the next king, who was Darius. And it says, look, we've been stopped, but Cyrus said we could build. He does a look and he says, you're right. Start building the temple again. And the building starts taking place again. That there is, when you take Ezra, you see all this hindrance and blessing to the nation of Israel going back and forth as letters are going to the king. But at the same time, you know there's spiritual warfare going into the heavens that's affecting what's taking place here on earth. And I was comparing Daniel with Ezra, saying, oh, this is what's taking place, and these are the kings that are going to replace that king and that prince and so forth. So anyhow, you can do that too. The whole point is that we can see the invisible world in Daniel chapter 10. It opened up to us. We're going to look next hour how it affects us in the age of grace. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for a Bible. We know you're real, Lord. We know heaven is real. We know hell is real. We know that earth is just a small place in the solar system. And yet it's a place that you chose to put your name here forever in your throne. And heaven is going to come down to the earth someday, the kingdom of heaven. So thank you, Father, for revealing to us things that we can see with the eyes of faith when we only believe the scripture of truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.